Welcome to the Business Success Network podcast with me, Stacey Calder, helping you to grow yourself and grow your business with tools, tips, and techniques. Hi everybody, it is Stacey Calder from the Business Success Network and Magazine. I am so excited to have you join me on the podcast today. And not only are you listening in, I've got an amazing guest, our featured expert for this season. It is the wonderful Carl Ford.
Hello, hello, hello.
Hello. So you are the first person that is participating in this podcast in its new format in the studio live, so there's no outtakes, there's no able to cut this and put a jingle in or anything like that, so no pressure at all. No. and you know, it will be out on YouTube as well, so they'll also be able to see your lovely mush. So tell us first of all, Carl, I've said you're one of our experts for the season, but tell us what you do, what your business is, and why you are the go-to expert.
Sure. So I've been in business for 15 years now. So I think after 15 years, I've kind of figured out what I'm doing. And one of the things that I think sets me apart from other accountants is the fact that my first business wasn't accountancy. So I've actually done real business. So I understand the nuts and bolts of what it's like to run a business. My first business was actually retailing olive oil. So I was part of the process of, I imported it. I even had some overseas shoppers. So I was exporting it. I was retailing within the UK. I built an e-commerce shop myself. I did so much. And one of the things that I learned is I did so much myself that it nearly broke me. But that lesson is what I've taken forward into accountancy. And so people keep asking, like, what's the difference between different, like, accountants with the different qualifications? How do you choose one? And I say, don't really look at the qualifications, because we've all got a qualification. We've all passed exams to get to where we are. The difference is experience and also personality. Personality is a huge part of it, because so many people are afraid to call their accountant. Well, that's not right, is it? Your accountant should be friendly. It should be part of your business. It shouldn't be someone that you dread to call. So that's the kind of way that I position myself and this business, that we're part of your business, that we care about it. We want to help you grow, because if we help you grow, well, you'll stay with us for longer. And that's what we all want in business, isn't it? So, yeah, that the position that we're in is that we're the experts in what we do, because we've done what you do.
I've never done olive oil. Well, that's just,
yeah.
I've known you for quite a while now, and I have never heard that story before.
I did a presentation last week, and people there that have known me for 8 years within Four Networking, and not one of them knew that side to me, because I've kept it away, because, well, it's not accounts, it's not relevant. But actually, do you know what? It is relevant, because it shows that I know much more. You know, I've got a background in recruitment consultancy. I've got a background in retail. By bringing all of that together means that I can tell you about more than just what your numbers are in your business.
I've got to ask, why olive oil?
It was a freak occurrence, really, that I've always been into growing my own produce. And part of that is I was growing herbs, I was growing chilies, I was growing garlic. And I used to infuse it with olive oil that I brought from the co-op down the road. And I met someone at a party.
Other supermarkets are available.
Other supermarkets are available, yes, of course. And I'll say every little helps. I should have gotten as many supermarket puns as I can.
No.
So I was doing that from a supermarket of no particular name. And friends and family would start to ask for it. So I was making it for them. It got to a point where it's a bit ridiculous. So that's how I was like, I'm going to have to source this from elsewhere. I don't know where you source olive oil from. I was at a party in London and I got introduced to someone because I do olive oil and they do olive oil. Turns out they just set up a charity in the Middle East, bringing together the different olive groves. So I got introduced to this charity and that's how the whole process started. It was just a chance meeting.
Do you know what? I love this. We've spent nearly 5 minutes talking about olive oil on a podcast that I was expecting to talk about. This is what I love about, you know, networking, getting to know people, chatting to them, doing podcasts. You just never know what your guests are going to come out with. We've just spent 10 minutes behind the scenes talking and yet olive oil did not come up.
Yeah, I just kept that in my back pocket just to drop that one.
All right, let's throw Stacey completely off guard now. I love it. I love it. So, yes, you are Carl Ford from Carl Ford Accountancy. You have worked with olive oil. I am very shocked. Is there anything else you want to kind of take out your back pocket and throw at me?
Not right now.
We'll give it another couple of minutes then. So how did you go then from olive oil to accountancy?
But during the whole time of running that business, I was studying part-time AAT. And during that first year, I was a recruitment consultant. So I was going to college in the evening. I managed to get myself a job with quite a large local authority. And that's how I got into accountancy, because I was sick of recruitment. But it was intense. That I did industrial recruitment consultancy. And it was just, it's 24/7. I was on call every other week. You get fed up of getting a 3 a.m. phone call from a supermarket. There's another supermarket link, and this one is Every Little Helps. You get sick of it, and it grinds you down. So I said I wanted out. I spoke to my partner at the time and said, I've got to get out. They said, what do you want to do? My response was, I want to be a sports therapist, because, you know, I'm a big sports fan. I've been playing football since I was 8 years old. Their response was, that's not a proper career. That line sticks with me forever, because it was that line that led me to go to Tamworth College. I was walking past the accounts department and the lady that was head of finance basically said, are you interested? I was like, I don't know. And the offer was that the first year is paid for free. And it then transpired that because of what I'd done with my past career and the qualifications I've got so far, I got an exemption from year one. So actually that meant year two was paid for free. So I was like, okay, well, it's now down to a 2-year course, 50% of it's paid for. I can add up, why not? So that's how I become an accountant and got into it, because being a sports therapist isn't a proper career and the first year was going to be paid for. Oh, and I can add up.
Do you know what? I find it fascinating because I know you're really passionate about sports as well, but it's so funny. Like, I remember being at college and I did the course that was travel and tourism, you know, that one that your parents go bonkers at because it's not a proper job at the end of it. And it's just you trying to prove to them that you'll go to college kind of thing. Yeah, I've heard it all too. The careers advice back when I was a kid was definitely, you know, it's not a proper job. Part of that travel and tourism, actually, there was like sports psychology and all that sort of thing.
Yeah.
And you wouldn't think it now to look at me. But yeah, a lot of it was about the leisure industry and, like you say, fitness and all that. And yeah, there was no way I was getting into that side of it. So and social media wasn't even around then. So I had no idea what I was going to do. I just was going to go out and travel. But it doesn't surprise me that was kind of a route that you took with your sport, because you are really passionate about sports, aren't you? And I know for those listening on Spotify and other kind of apps, they won't see the video to this, but I'm looking at you, and if you're on YouTube, you'll see it. Your office, if you like, is covered in art and racetracks and all this different thing. So what are you most passionate about then in terms of sport?
Yeah, in terms of sport, it's motorsport. I've played football from like 8 years old. I've played school level, quite high school level. I've played semi-professional football level. But it's always been motorsport that's been there and in the background from the early days of like Nigel Mansell and Senna going wheel to wheel. Murray Walker, you know, RIP, he died at the weekend. He is the voice of F1, and he's what got me into it. He's referred to as the voice of F1, and for a good reason. That's why I got into it. It's always stayed with me. You can see it from behind me that I've got a picture of Ayrton Senna on the wall. I've got James Hunt. I've got two different tracks. The design of it is the Golf GT40. I'm a huge motorsport fan, and I'm fortunate that age is kind of irrelevant when it comes to motorsport. So I'm still able to participate. So I race go-karts myself. Once we're out of lockdown, we're still in, and maybe by the time this goes to air, we won't be. Fingers crossed. Yeah, I race in the Sodi World Series. I absolutely love it because you may not have the kind of agility or reflexes of someone that's half my age that I compete against, but you've got brains and you've done a few laps more than them, so you learn how to outfox them. So age is irrelevant, but also I sponsor three speedway riders, so I'm a big fan of encouraging and nurturing young talents come through as well.
Amazing. So what is it then? Is it the speed of it? Isn't it? I can tell by your
track. For people on Spotify or other podcasting devices, I've got a huge grin on my face. I love the adrenaline rush of it. From an accounts point of view, it's a very serious, detailed, focused job. Doing the go-kart and then being interested in speedway and other motorsports, it's the opposite. It's the adrenaline rush. It's being on the edge. It's not being in full control. So with the go-kart, one of the cars that I race in, they do 50 miles an hour-ish. The other one, the two-strokes, they are badged at 70 miles an hour plus. And with that, your butt is about 6 inches off the ground. You don't have a seat belt. You're going downhill around 70 miles an hour into a 90-degree bend. You don't know if someone's going to knock into you, if you're going to hit something that's slippery. It's that being on the edge that I get a kick out of it. And it just, it balances me out from the detailed work that we do with the accounts.
So does that make you a bit of a risk taker then?
Oh, totally. Yeah. I think you can see what we talked about with my past in business with, I took a punt on becoming an accountant because I can count. I took a punt on getting involved in the olive oil business because of a freak accidental meeting. And then there's this, I always take risks, but it's always calculated risks. And I think doing the go-karting probably helps my decision-making in business because you've got to be thinking it's like this. It's split-second decisions because if you get it wrong, you're in a barrier and that hurts. Like I broke my ribs twice last year because the decision-making was, well, the first one was wrong. The second one was just my ribs were weak from the first one. You've got to be so on the ball.
Sorry, I'm not laughing at you hurting your ribs. I'm laughing at the way you put it.
It's one of them things that if you play with fire, you get burnt and it goes with the territory. So, like, people were saying, oh, you're mad. Are you going to stop doing it? I was like, no. It's one of them things. So
I'm just going to wait for my ribs to heal this time, I think was probably the solution.
Though. Yes, and I have taken precautions that I do now have a rib protector just in case. That's the thing. You take a risk. If it goes right, woohoo, you won. If it goes wrong, well, you've just gained some knowledge that it went wrong. So what do you learn from it? And you take those parallels from sport into the business world and you're onto a winner.
And we're going to talk about that a little bit more now because it feeds quite nicely into my next question, which was, I know you're doing a lot of training at the moment in terms of you're putting on the trainings. So you were just talking about, you know, if you don't win, you learn kind of thing. So what's your new training all about?
Yeah, so the new training, there's a few little kind of sides to it. The first one is very obviously I'm doing Zero. I've been with Zero for 8 years now. I'm a huge fan. I would say other accounting software is available. Don't bother. Just go with Zero. If you want to sue anyone, sue Stacey, not me. but I've been a fan of Zero for 8 years because I just love how simplistic it is. A lot of accountancy software is designed by people with finance and accountancy backgrounds. The guys at Xero, I know Gary Turn, I know him very well, and he's not an accountant. And that kind of flows through into Xero, that it's designed for the end user. It's designed for the business owner. Their slogan is beautiful accounting. There's a reason for that, that it's just so slick. So I want to help business owners get the most out of it, which is why I've got two specific Xero training programs. The first one is Ground Xero, and that's your intro into Xero, getting a basic understanding of how you can start to unlock some of the features within it. Then the next stage on from that is Xero on steroids, and that is the advanced module to it. So that's how you can start unlocking some of the party modes within it, and how you can get extra time savings. So there's someone I've worked with, they have automated their invoicing process, doing some cool tricks within Xero. The net result of that is that they save themselves 8 hours of their time every single month. And with that, they get to put on full-day workshops, which generates them about £12,000 worth of additional income, which is pretty much 100% profit, using the exact same amount of time that they were already using. So that's the cool thing that we can do with this training. And the other purely finance one that I'm doing is Accounting Essentials. And this is aimed at people in business that haven't really got a clue about accountancy and finance. So I worked with Cross Crosley a couple of years ago, and he said, what is it about accounts that people don't get? And my response was, basically, it's an ancient language that we use to confuse people. And that's where the phrase accountanese came from. That's this ancient language that it's full of this mystery. Like, people don't understand some of the phrases. So the Accounting Essentials course is aimed at demystifying it and empowering the business owners, so they actually understand what their accountant is saying to them, or they actually have enough knowledge they can go away and do the accounts themselves. So that's one side. The other side is that I'm super excited about this, that I have a Business Avenger training program. It's 5 modules, and this is all aimed at business development. And this is not sports focused at all. This is kind of like
Avenger focused, right? Which is another one of your passions, isn't it?
Yeah. So I am Captain Accountancy. That's for two reasons. One is captain, because it's a sports focus, but also I'm a big Captain America fan. So there's the Business Avengers. This is business development, 5 modules. So it's about what you can learn from Captain America, what you can learn from Iron Man, Thor, Hulk, and Spider-Man. And
where you were going to go then.
it's really cool. I've run through a beta process with a couple of people. The feedback is absolutely amazing. So, yeah, I'm really excited to be rolling that out, and it will be going live very shortly.
Ooh.
And I'd have to come up with something sport-related, wouldn't I? So, coming soon, this fall. I've gone all American on that part.
This fall, yeah. This fall,
yes. There is a sports one which will be based on what you can take from motorsport into the business world. So it's things like with my own experience of go-karting, I used to be slower than what I am now, and that's because I looked at my bumper, what was right in front of me. As soon as I started to look down the straight towards the next corner or past the apex into the next straight, I started to go faster because I was looking at the medium and the long term. So it's about bringing those lessons from motorsport into the real world. It's looking at the Formula One drivers. What lessons can you take from them?
So we've had an article in the magazine previously from, I'm pretty sure it was Red Bull, actually, Red Bull Racing.
Cool.
And it was lessons from the pit lane. Really good. And I'm going to send you that article because you will love it.
And Red Bull are phenomenal at this, that they are the best in the business. When it's pit stops, they can change 4 tyres in something like 1.6 seconds.
It's crazy. Oh my. Mm-hmm. Right. We could talk all day, Mr. Ford, but I want you to leave us with your top 3 business tips.
Top 3 tips. All right. Well, I'm an accountant. So the first one I have to say is know your numbers. Because if you don't know what the numbers are in your business, how can you make any informed decisions? You can't. So whether it's you're doing it yourself or you're speaking to an accountant, make sure that you've got a system in place so that you've got frequent figures. Now, you don't need to do them every day, like some people do, but once a week, once a month, make sure you're updating your figures, because then you can make informed decisions that will drive your business forward. The second one, get help. Like I've talked about when I had the olive oil business, I was doing everything. I hand coded a website using Notepad on a PC and a book from a library. It took so much time. If I'd have gone to a web designer, that would have been done in half a day probably. So reach out and get help from people. There's no shame in it. You look at sports teams, they've got a multitude of coaches on their staff, because even when you're at the pinnacle of your career, you can still learn more. So there's no shame in it. Ask for help. That's tip number two.
Big fan of outsourcing here.
Massive, huge. That's with the accountancy. I've built the business on outsourcing with VAs, with bookkeepers, mm-hmm. all sorts. Finally, know where the end is. So if you're going to get in your car, you know where you're heading. You get your sat nav in and you put the end destination in, because otherwise you're just aimlessly driving around. And that's the same kind of principle in business. Know where you're heading, know where you want to get to, because otherwise you might head off on a tangent and who knows where you'd end up. But if you're focused on that end destination, you've got something to head towards. And when you get those squirrels and tangents that appear, it gives you a choice. Do I want to carry on going to my destination that I originally planned, or follow this tangent and see where it goes? But by having that destination in mind, it gives you those options. So yeah, that's the final one. Know where you're going, know where the end is.
Brilliant. That is amazing. So the last part of our podcast then, Carl, apart from obviously the Business Success Network expert panel, where can people find you?
Well, they can find me online. So carlford.biz, very simple website to remember. You can find me there. I'm also on Facebook. So there's the Facebook page, which is Carl Ford Accountancy. You can keep up to date with what we're up to on there. LinkedIn. Basically, if you search for us on social media, we are very prolific on there. So you can find that. And I know some people say it's dead. Twitter is amazing. Follow me on Twitter. I love it. I am at the Carl Ford and I love Twitter. You'll find me on there weekends tweeting about sport.
It's true. There's a lot of race cars on your timeline.
Oh, yeah.
Right, Carl, that was phenomenal. Like I said, we could talk all day, but 22 minutes in, I need to stop. Otherwise, my lovely Gary Jones that edits this will kill me for not shutting up. So it's been a pleasure. I can't believe we've talked olive oil. We've talked accounts, obviously numbers, but also, you know, motor racing and football and God knows what else. And Marvel. This is like, it has everything.
It's amazing, isn't it?
Oh, honestly, if we didn't know you before, we know you now. Thanks, Carl. It's been an absolute pleasure.
Thanks, Stacey.
Thank you all for listening. I hope you've enjoyed it. If you have, please leave us a review. And until next time, I'll see you soon.